Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, January is divorce month, and we talked to a divorce coach about that. A Northview High School coach has been inducted into the Coaches Who Care Mental Health Hall of Fame. We talked to him. We explore the latest findings about the need for financial education for teens in Michigan. The Grand Rapids Remodeling and New Home Show kicks off today, and so does World of Winter.
Kathy Beatty in the house. Let's get into this January that is considered divorce month, and we bring you on, Kathy, because, well, that's your niche, divorce coach, mediator, and more. Kathy, welcome back to our show. Good morning.
Thank you, Michelle.
Why do you work good and play in West Michigan?
Oh, my goodness, because it seems to be a very safe place, a very friendly place, a lot of opportunity, and the water, right? Everywhere we turn, there are opportunities of water.
All four seasons. Thank you for that. Why is January considered divorce month, Kathy?
Yeah, because that is when most divorces are filed, the midweek of January. And I believe it's because, I don't know that the research shows this, but we want to get through Christmas, through the holidays, before we start on this journey. And so January ends up being the month where most people file.
Yes. What would be the age group highest in filing for divorce? I'm going to kind of look behind the scenes here.
Yeah. Well, right now it's called the gray divorce. People 50 and older who've been married 20, 30 plus years are considering or stepping out. I shouldn't say considering. They're stepping out and they are filing for divorce. They want a different life, which is really interesting, right, that people would go that long and then decide that. But they are also seeing that their life is they have less in front of them than they do behind, and they want it on their terms. So there.
Plus, you may live to be 95 instead of 75.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord blessing. Are rates declining for younger adults?
Well, they're getting married later. So that tends to reduce the rates of divorce because of that.
Yes. And are, I mean, it kind of all the same conversation, just the shifting demographics, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
What is your role in all the work you do?
My job is to minimize the damage because every divorce has damage. So I want to minimize it emotionally, financially, and spiritually, and physically. That's my goal.
Well, stand by. We know you have good resources for us, but I still want to keep the conversation going. What if someone, Kathy, says, I'm highly ashamed of what I'm going through. Why would I subject myself to a group of strangers in the work that you do, bringing us together?
Yes, in my groups, it's amazing that people are brave enough to step into a group of strangers. They don't know me. However, they are realizing I can't do this on my own. Nor should you do it on your own, because it's going to take longer in healing. It's going to take longer in getting through the process. So it's vitally important that you do not go through this alone. And a support group is so relieving and safe. It's a confidential group, and you're seeing people who are going through what you're going through. And that is very comforting and normalizing to this traumatic process that you're going through.
Males and females we're discussing?
Correct, yes.
You, again, a court-appointed mediator, divorce coach, support group facilitator. Yes, having written 6 books on divorce, we can talk about that. What is a court-appointed mediator? We've talked about that. When do you begin the mediation?
Mm-hmm. Well, for the people, once they file, they can begin mediation. You don't have to wait for a certain amount of time. In fact, you could even do it prior. So the goal of mediation, and this is sanctioned by the court, that you come together, you and your spouse come together and work through all of the division of assets and debts and dealing with the children. You can do this on your own if you can cooperate and work together and work in good faith. You can come together, get this resolved. So this is going to save you an incredible amount of finances. I have a lot of people who come to me without attorneys, and how we do that is we come together, we get the agreement. I say, do not sign it, because once it's signed, it's a legally binding contract. So now take this agreement to your attorney, have them review it and find any vulnerabilities, any tax implications or things that you can't see and I can't see. I may see, but as a mediator, I don't give legal advice. I ask a lot of questions, but I don't give legal advice. So if you go to a mediator without attorneys, you do that, you get the agreement, and then you bring in the attorneys. And this is going to save you a lot of time and a lot of money.
Now, as a mediator, you're not trying to mend the relationship.
No, I'm not. I do, however, do stay married mediations where we do work together to try to save the marriage. It's really a last-ditch effort before we step into the divorce process. But as a mediator, no, my role in divorce mediation is simply to, I say sometimes I'm like the machine. My job here is to get the items on the table and for you to determine how this is going to work.
Yes, thank you for that. Here's a question, back to somewhat scenario. Is the next relationship the answer to loneliness and the trauma of divorce? Do you get that question a lot? Do we ask that?
I do get that question a lot. And I always try very strongly to discourage the next relationship. Your goal really is to become a healthy single person. The relationships can wait until later. Right now, you've got to work on a lot of healing. And if you don't do that, and I always tell people in my group, I don't want to see you again. I want you to go through this and have it done, have it behind you, work on your healing, become that healthy single person. If the Lord provides a mate in the future, you are going to be healthy enough to go into this as a healthy person, with a healthy person. Because if you're not, you're also a target for predators.
What would you say would be the two most vulnerable and dangerous areas for people going through divorce?
One of them is definitely stepping into a relationship too early, because we are so raw and so wounded that we will rationalize and we won't see the red flags. The second is financially. So many people are making the wrong decisions because they're hurt, because they are uninformed. So this is a time really to do that learning, to sit down with your banker, to sit down with your financial advisor, work through these areas that are just full of issues and landmines that you could land in.
Now, a question for you. Do people call your work perhaps sad or challenging? Mm-hmm. You've done this for 21 years. How do you keep strong, Kathy Beatty?
Yeah, well, I learned a long time ago that people's heartache, and I have heard, as you can imagine, working with hundreds and hundreds of men and women, a lot of stories. However, that's where my faith comes in. And I say, God, I can't take this in. I'm not going to be effective. This is your work. My work is to show up and to guide people through. But I'm not the healer. I'm not the savior. There's only one, and it's not me.
Thank you for that. Again, Kathy Beatty, court-appointed mediator, divorce coach, support group facilitator, author, and more. Are you having support groups and upcoming workshops for those needed?
Yes, thank you. January 15th, just around the corner, I will begin my next support group. We'll go 10 weeks together. I provide the materials and we go 10 weeks. We talk about emotions because they are first and foremost. And then we talk about the decisions that we have to make and how can we carefully make those decisions. And then, because they are going to affect us the rest of our life. Then we talk about acceptance, accepting where we are. And the fourth section is how do we begin to move forward? And so that's the 10 weeks. And then I have a follow-up program called Building Your Life After Divorce, which is 8 weeks, where we look at the future and what do we want for the future. And we focus on the future.
Are these in-person or virtual?
They are actually hybrid. My last session was totally on Zoom, and I had people from all over the country. So I do both, depending on how many folks are local and depending on what they want to do, feel comfortable with. It's always better in person, right? But Zoom is there.
And, of course, your guests are all together. So I imagine just hearing from each other and knowing you're not the only one.
Absolutely. When you hear someone else articulate your pain that you couldn't find the words for, it's incredibly normalizing. It's like, oh, you feel that way too. I'm not alone. And we feel so alone. And that's, again, one of the reasons why I got into this work. I know the loneliness, having gone through my own divorce, and the confusion and the chaos that goes on in our minds and our hearts and our spirits. So don't go through it alone, and get that support.
What are a couple of your books to check out?
I have 30 Days of Healing After Divorce. I have a 3-book series called Suddenly Single, which is, the first is Going Through the Divorce, the second is Building Your Life, and the third is the first year after divorce journal that actually helps you process again through what you're going through. And then there's Seeing Your Attorney for the First Time is a free download, I must say, and that's available upon request. And then I have the workbook, Divorce Support Anonymous, that we use. And then I have, I think that's it.
Yeah. Good. Kathy, how do we sign up for your January 15th beginning?
You can contact me through Facebook, through LinkedIn, Divorce Support Anonymous website. I am very easy to find if you spell my name right. My mother was like your mother, Shelley. They threw an E at the end. So.
K-A-T-H-E-Y makes you unique. Kathy Beatty, thank you. Yes, January considered divorce month, so let's get through January. There you are. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
Well, he's a big deal because he's a member of the Coaches Who Care Mental Health Hall of Fame. It's an initiative created by Samaritas and Be Nice. So we speak with, well, that coach. We'll call you Coach Step, Coach Andrew Stepanovich, or of course, I'm going to call you Coach Step like the rest of you wrestlers. Congratulations on this, Andrew.
Thank you.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about when you first wrestled.
I started wrestling in middle school. I had two younger brothers, and, you know, as you often do with younger brothers, you spend some time fighting each other a little bit, right? And, you know, just when I found out my middle school had a wrestling team, it sounded like a great idea and fell in love with the sport, and the rest was history.
History into you becoming a wrestling coach with Northview High School. How long have you been at the helm?
At Northview, I've been there for 3 years.
What's it like to coach, I trust, boys who wrestle or girls getting into this?
Boys and girls.
Okay,
we actually
good.
Have a, we have a lot of boys and girls. Last year, we actually started an official girls team, and we have 12 girls on the team right now.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Coaches Who Care, Mental Health Hall of Fame. Was this expected as far as you being awarded?
No, I mean, someone nominated me, so it kind of came as a surprise when I found out. And, you know, it was something like I started reading about these organizations, right, Samaritas and Be Nice, and looking at the work they're doing. And when I did, you know, they're supporting vital mental health services in Michigan. And to see that and then realize, oh, man, I'm getting recognized by these organizations for, you know, the work myself and my assistant coaches are doing. It was a huge honor. Yeah.
Yes. Again, the back story for its first year, impartial judges from Samaritas and Be Nice, of course, both great organizations in our own backyard, reviewed nominations and did select you, Coach Step, and 4 other coaches, of course, from across Michigan. You have been recognized as a coach who provides a safe space, and you spend time supporting and encouraging student athletes. We all want our coaches to do this. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think has always been a little bit important to, at least a little bit important to me, just based on my own history and my family's history with some struggles with mental health. But, you know, when I think back about it, there is like a specific example from my first season coaching with this team that really kind of flipped a switch for me, right? We were having a practice, and I had a kid on the team. He's that kid who just always works super hard, never gets tired, right? Well, we're doing conditioning, and then he's totally not himself, right? He's looks sluggish, looks just totally off. And, you know, as a coach, your mind starts wondering what's going on. And at first it went to, you know, is he a teenager? Did he not get enough sleep, right? Is he sick? And then I got a good look at his face, and I realized he was going through something that I had experienced at times in my own past, which was he was starting to have a panic attack. So I pulled him out of the room, sat down with him. You know, we did some techniques that I had learned in therapy myself, right? Grounding, deep breathing. And then after, you know, a few minutes when he had started to settle a little bit, we just talked, right? And it wasn't about wrestling, right? He just started talking to me about things in his life that were not things you would, you know, any teenager should have to deal with, right? But he was having to deal with them, and it was causing him a lot of strife. And we talked for a while, right? My assistant coach had to finish the practice without me. Yeah. And, but after that, you know, I could see change in that kid, and that wasn't the last time we talked. And, you know, it sparked a change in me too.
Thank you for that. Yes, my reading while you're talking, yes, it looks like you poured confidence into him, which resulted in improvements, even in his wrestling abilities. And I'm sure that's not why you comforted him. It's just, it just happened, and that's what happens. It is an inaugural year of the Coaches Who Care initiative, showing just how many Michigan coaches are making a real difference in the lives of their student-athletes with this award. And of course, the in-studio on behalf of Northview High School wrestling coach Andrew Stepanovich, Coach Step. What else? How else can we work with, I mean, the Be Nice program? We know I don't have all the, I know Christy Buck's so talented with, you know, how she sputters off the ways to make the Be Nice program happen. How are we doing with other kids such as the one you coached and making sure their mental health is being checked?
We, as in the Be Nice program, the team?
Just coaches in general. I mean, are we paying more attention to your kids?
Yeah. I mean, I think overall it is getting better, you know, and I think the work that Samaritas and Be Nice are doing to kind of lead that initiative, put that on the forefront is really impactful, right? Because it still needs to be, you know, I would say it still needs to be more important, right? Like there's, kids need to make sure that coaches need to make sure their kids know that they're not just a win or loss record to us, right? Mm-hmm. You know, these organizations talk about walking alongside, you know, and what that means is, you know, it's collaborating and maintaining human relationships with people. And a lot of the kids in the district I coach in and all over Michigan are in situations where they need that collaboration, human relationship. They need that person that can be there to support them because they're going through something. And so it's really important that we as coaches keep, you know, we're not done yet, you know.
Thank you for that. You were the state champion wrestler with Forest Hills Northern High in 2008?
You did your research. Yes.
Well, I hope you still have that plaque on the wall. But
somewhere. Yeah.
Yes, don't hide it. You were honored, correct, with the ceremony at the school surrounded by athletes?
Yes. Yep. They did a ceremony and interview there. Whole team came down. It was really cool. It was a huge privilege and honor.
Well, in the inaugural class of Coaches Who Care, Mental Health Hall of Fame. So here we are, January 9th. Is this season? When's wrestling season?
We are mid-season right now. Yep. So
how you doing?
We're having a great season. The boys team, we are 6-3 in duels right now. Actually just had a big win earlier this week over a team that beat us last season. So that was a really cool experience. For the team, girls team this past weekend took second place at a tournament in Grand Haven out of 16 teams. So, you know, results wise, we're having a great season. Yeah, it's exciting.
What's it take? You have to pin the person? Is that the language?
That's the ultimate goal is to pin, right? And if time runs out and you haven't pinned them, then it's who scored the most points. So
I think if it was available when I way back when, I could have been a good wrestler because we wrestled with my brother.
It really is exciting to see, you know, that growth of girls wrestling. It's actually the fastest growing high school sport in the country right now.
All right. So congratulations, Coaches Who Care, Mental Health Hall of Fame. And yes, this on behalf of Samaritas, a wonderful organization. Be Nice under the Mental Health Foundation of West Michigan. So look up those sources for more and get your nominations in for next year. But they can never take away, Coach Stepp, your inaugural year. All right, go get them, as they say, in the world of wrestling and your talents. Thank you, Coach Andrew Stepanovich. Take care.
Thank you.
Let's talk finances. On behalf of the National Endowment for Financial Education, we get the best president and CEO, Dr. Billy Hensley, to talk about the latest findings when it comes about and for the need, demand for financial education. Dr. Hensley, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for you. An important conversation that we have. First of all, remind me of the good work of NEFE, please.
Yes, NEFE. We are a national foundation focused on being champions for effective FinEd. We want everyone, no matter their zip code, to have access to a quality financial education as early as possible in their life.
Has this been missing in most of our lives?
It definitely was missing in mine, and that's part of the reason that I'm a champion for this. You know, and what we're finding, it's fascinating, that those who took a FinEd class are very happy they did. 86% actually said it was very valuable to their financial lives, and those who didn't wish they had, 82% actually. And, you know, those who did not take it, 70% believe the quality of their financial life would be easier. You know, we've all had to navigate those decisions in our lives. Wish we'd had more information or more confidence even to jump into that. And it's considered an essential topic nationally, with 83% of Americans believe that their state should require a semester or year-long course. And at the top of the list of all the classes that Americans feel like should be covered most essential, FinEd is at 76%, basically tied with math, and close to English as well.
Yes, well, as you mentioned in your opening, I'm glad I took typewriting 101, but I got nothing when it came to finances, so I'm so glad that we're discussing this. And yes, I see a strong correlation between being financially literate and being good with money. So more on where perhaps Michigan stands regarding the implementation of these requirements.
Well, we're very happy to say that Michigan is part of the group of 30 states that either require or at least they're in the process of implementing a graduation requirement, at least a semester. And a semester is the minimum, you know, needed for that. And this is great news for the nearly 1.5 million students in the Michigan public school system. The class of 2028 will be the first class that has had this as a graduation requirement. And the Michigan Department of Ed is currently in the process of implementing that. So, you know, not only is it highly sought after in states where it's not even required, we're really excited about those states that are in the process of implementing, because we've learned a lot. Some of the earlier states have given us and shared with us how to do it well, and that's what's happening in Michigan, and we're excited about that.
Yes, and again, as mentioned, your NEFE does want to see every state in the country offer these courses to set students up for financial success. How can schools literally build programs that prepare students for real-life money management? Getting into the deeper subject here.
Sure. Well, you know, there's two sides of this. The first side is the practical side, meaning you need to have well-trained educators. You know, that helps build confidence in their ability to cover this topic, you know, relevant subject matter, timely instruction, vetted program materials from trusted and unbiased sources. And then we need to work hard to demonstrate evidence of impact, meaning are we affecting behavior change? Are people relating to what's being covered? And if not, how do we adjust that? And then on the side that, you know, everyone's interested in, our latest data talk about what most Americans want to see covered in the classroom. And at the very top of that list is spending and budgeting. That's front of mind for most young people and most Americans in general, followed by saving, earning income and what it takes to move up the career ladder, managing credit, investing, you know, saving for retirement and so forth, and then truly understanding the financial system. You know, how do we navigate the financial system? The products become more and more complicated. There's more and more people fighting for our attention, so to speak. And so how do we navigate that financial system? You know, and we're all over the place in terms of, you know, what we know and what we bring to the table when it comes to money. It's a very personal subject, whether you've talked about it with your family or not. And so we believe that what we call equitable FinEd, it recognizes those barriers, and we work to meet people where they are so they can launch from what they bring to the table, but also start to build that confidence with what's next.
Dr. Billy Hensley, President, CEO, National Endowment for Financial Education, talking about the latest findings about the need, demand for financial education. Dr. Hensley, I think I might have missed this. We're talking for the high schooler here, perhaps the 11th to 12th grader, earlier education. What do you think?
Well, you know, it depends on the state, but most states are focused on high school. There are a few states that start in middle school, you know, in my opinion with this, and data backs it up really, it's not even opinion, is that cumulative financial education is the most powerful. You know, it's a lifelong pursuit, really. But what we're doing with high school students is helping them launch out into life. 11th grade, 12th grade is where it mostly lives, but all different grade levels across the country.
And what, again, somewhat in summary, as we look to ultimately wind down, what should effective financial education include today?
Well, you know, starting with that confident teacher, we want to make sure that students are relating to what's being covered in the classroom. And it's timely. You know, students are going to show up curious about things like Bitcoin. We want to be able to cover those topics as well as what it means to invest and save for the future and budget and how do you manage and negotiate your benefits when you start a job. You know, this is a personal thing for me. I had no idea what to do when I started my first couple of jobs. And effective, thoughtfully designed financial education will include all of these topics that everything from spending and credit and so forth, but also those other softer skills when it comes to how do you approach banking, how do you establish your financial footprint when you begin your career and so forth.
Finally, what steps can families or communities take to support stronger financial skills for students?
Well, a very practical one is talk about the subject. You know, let's demystify the topic about money. Let's have parents, grandparents, family members push the schools to offer FinEd in a way that's thoughtfully designed, even when it's not required at other grade levels. Let's hold these educational institutions accountable for covering this thoughtfully so that students feel more confident, really, at the end of the day. All this topic and all the decisions related to it shouldn't be a mystery. And the more we normalize conversations about finance, the more confidence we can build in young people. And more likely they will know how to better align their financial lives to their individual values and decisions.
'Tis our future, especially here in Michigan. Dr. Billy Hensley, President, CEO, National Endowment for Financial Education. Where do we turn for more information?
Well, if you're interested in the progress of this or want some talking points to make the case for this locally in your own schools, go to nefe.org. That's our website, and we have a policy tracking map. We have some advocacy tools and some great talking points to help you make the case in your local school.
Great. Thanks. Have a good new year. Thanks for this reminder to be educated in finances as early as possible. Take care.
Take care.
Head to, of course, DeVos Place soon. The Grand Rapids Remodeling and New Home Show kicks off today. How are you feeling, Manager Carolyn Ault, my friend?
You know, I am feeling great. I was a little, you know, I don't sleep great during these weeks of the show, but the second I get to the building, I feel great. We've had a great morning, and we're putting the spit and polish finishing touches on a beautiful show for homeowners to come down here.
Thank you. Well, show season has begun. Seems like we were just there, but thank you for your talents. You bring in those who are ready to remodel our homes, old and or new. What's this all about, Carolyn?
it is old and new, right? So some of us live in an old home, and maybe what we want to do is we want to upgrade it. We want to bring our kitchen out of the 80s or 90s and into modern times. And I'm starting to look around my home and think, well, I love it, but I forgot that it's 20 years ago that we did this. So maybe it's time. But, you know, we've got almost 200 local businesses. They're builders, they're remodelers, they're kitchen designers, they're interior designers. And then, you know, home improvement experts, roofing, siding. Maybe you've had an issue with your home over the winter and you're realizing, oh, we need to do some insulation. We need to fix the chimney. All of those experts are going to be down here at the show this weekend helping folks. And maybe you're one of the lucky ones and you're finally ready to build your dream home. This is a place to start.
Maybe that should be Carolyn Ault's move forward. There we are. All right. What's your run? It's a 3-day run, right?
It is a 3-day run. Yep. We're today is Friday. We open at noon, go till 8. Tomorrow, 10 to 8. And Sunday, 11 to 5. So hopefully plenty of time for folks to fit a few hours into their weekend. Prioritize those things that you want to do with your home, those things you've seen over the winter or the holidays. You're coming out, you redecorate, you know, put your Christmas or your holiday decorations away, and you went, oh yeah, that's right, we needed to fix this thing. Come down to the show, start talking to the builders, get on their schedules now.
Carolyn, who is gracing your stages?
Oh my gosh. So we have a headliner. I'm so excited. And I've met her this morning in person, Jen Largess from This Old House. She's one of their DIY experts for the show. She also is the host of their radio hour, and I've been listening to her on the Saturday and Sunday mornings. Love to have her here. She's going to be on the Build It stage on Friday and Saturday talking about the secret behind a successful project. And then we've got all of our usuals, our local experts, and they're, you know, they're familiar faces, but they're always up on what's new, what's important, with trends, whether it's kitchen design, whether it's aging in place, design for your family, you know, and color trends, those sorts of things. What I love about the education behind this show is that it's really, meets people where they are, right? You know, from aging in place to radon awareness to how to build, where to start if you're going to build, or kitchen remodeling. You know, we all are in a different place in life, and no answer is exactly, it's not cookie cutter. And so these experts are going to be here to help folks meet them where they are, whether it's the size of the project, the size of their budget, the size of their family. We've got solutions and experts to help you find the solutions for you.
Well said. Anything in this for kids?
You know, our kids are always welcome. It's a family affair, right? It's your home. We have our kids' construction areas that are just around the show. There's spots where kids can sit and relax and enjoy, build some Lincoln Logs and some coloring, and just kind of keep them decompressed and keep them entertained for an extra few minutes while the parents or the grandparents have a chance to talk to the experts they need.
Cool. Other features and attractions and, of course, great sponsors and promotions available?
Well, the show is a plethora of exciting things. I think the other big feature for this show is our designer showcase rooms. And those are rooms that interior designers local to West Michigan have put together. You know, they do the whole thing, and they're spaces where you can just kind of escape from the hustle and bustle of the show. And you can see design trends. You can talk to the interior designers about your project. You know, one thing, we'll probably get to this anyway, but bring pictures, right? Go around your house before you come down to the show. Take pictures of, I know, I'm jumping all over. I literally took a picture. I talked to one of the window guys when he was moving in yesterday, and we were talking about a problem I'm having. He said, take a picture. So I took a picture of my slider last night. I'm bringing it to talk to him about it today. So pro tip, take pictures of the things around your house that you want to talk to these experts about. Yeah, I forgot where we even started, but oh, the designer showcase rooms. Yeah, it's great escape, great feature, great interior design ideas. But oh my gosh, there's so much. I can't even stay on track. I'm the worst.
It's all good because each will experience what they need to experience just walking into the beautiful DeVos place. All right, how do I best plan? What's my resource, my website, Good Carolyn?
Your best planning resource. The website is buildremodelgr.com. It's really easy to remember. It's going to take you to the show website where all the details will be there again. You can buy tickets online. Our seminar schedule is there. Exhibitor list is there, so you can plan your trip to the show and make it a success.
Make that plan. Stay the course, Carolyn. This is one of many of show seasons, so here we go. Blessed to be able to share the news. You take care, okay?
Thanks, Shelley. Great to talk with you.
We're in the winter season, but if you walk out today, you may not believe that. It's going to change, and I think that makes my next guests happy. You know what today is? Today is the kickoff for the World of Winter, and those on behalf of Ice Brigade to talk about it. Randy Finch, always a pleasure. Good morning to you, Randy.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Welcome, June Elmer, on the other microphone. Appreciate you with Ice Brigade. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Randy, are you okay with 60 degrees?
I love it. I love it. We've been out there with 20 below weather, and nobody shows up to see us, right? So we can work with weather. Yeah. We're professionals. We have a lot of the stuff pre-done, and we also are carving downtown tomorrow on Saturday. It's going to start dropping temperatures. So I think it's just perfect timing, and nobody wants to come out in nasty cold weather. World of Winter has so many other things, too, so it's not just about the ice. So there's tons of reasons to come down.
I think it is good too. June Elmer, what is the Ice Brigade? What are you all about?
So, well, first, tomorrow looks like there's actually going to be some snow coming, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that. Yes. So Ice Guru events, we do obviously ice carving, photo booth rentals, silent discos. We bring the fun to any party, really. Yes. Yeah.
As you should, as we do embrace winter for yet another year. Yeah, tomorrow, high of 35, snow showers. So you're right. This is the ideal temperature. Randy, the big picture of the World of Winter, I think this runs through March 1st, the whole all of the events?
Yes, absolutely. Unlike other winter festivals, we have ice sculptures going out every single weekend. So we've got an ice piano. We've got an ice sculpture for the Hungry Hippos. We've got all kinds of love on ice around Valentine's Day. So we'll have ice sculptures going out throughout the whole next month and a half. So,
what is an ice sculpture?
Well, that's a great question.
Well, it sounds like kind of a silly question. I think we all kind of know, but in your world, that's a talent.
Well, thank you. Basically, what we try to do is we try to give something as a talking point, something that's of interest. A lot of people have never seen an ice sculpture before, and it's truly something that I found fascinating, and that's why I got into it in the first place.
But weren't you an award-winning chef, too?
I did a little bit of cooking, yep. I ran Cygnus Restaurant back in the day up in at the Grand Plaza, and then I was a private chef for the Van Andel family. Traveled with Mr. and Mrs. Van Andel for a couple of years on their private jet, and it was a lot of fun.
If you only could see, you were flapping your wings. No, hey, you've got a book in you somewhere. June, what are your talents? What do you bring to this world of ice sculpting?
Well, I actually was in the military. I was in the Army. When I got out, I went to culinary school, and that's when I met Randy. And I did one day of ice carving in culinary school. Never thought I would be back doing that again. But after a lot of moving around and finding myself, I found myself right back here and found a home at Ice Guru Events. I do a lot of the office I'm the office manager. But I love to get out there and get my hands with the chainsaws and get some carving done, too.
Yes. All right. What do we see tomorrow, Randy?
So tomorrow, traditionally, that's the ice sculpture we do toward the end of the festival. We've shifted it up to the beginning, kicking it off 13 feet from front to back and 12 feet tall off the ground. We're going to have a sculpture tomorrow. It's determined by the public, so they voted on it, and they'll find out tomorrow what that sculpture is. So it's a surprise, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. Yes. So, and there's a lot of people listening.
That's right. That's right. How do you sculpt ice?
So we start off with, obviously, the client's cost, consumer's interest on what they want and put something together design-wise. And then we use chainsaws and die grinders and all kinds of fun things. But we're using a lot of tech now. So we have these VR headsets we're using for training, for teaching ice sculpting. So it gives them that visualization of the ice sculpture as they're carving. And we do a lot of tech stuff with designing programs to give us a kind of a visual of that. So it's definitely changed over the last 25 years.
And obviously, June, you work with an ice supplier, or do you have your own ice kitchen?
Oh, we are the ice supplier. Okay. Yep, we make all of our ice blocks in-house. There's, you know, doing all the water pumps, measuring them daily, and keep them all stored in our freezer.
I should have known that, Randy, because you were a guest feature on our Living West Michigan, I think, last year.
I know. It was great. I just saw one of the cameramen was over the other day. So it was great. We had a good time. That segment turned out great.
You were the star. Did you bring something in?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Well,
so,
unpack it,
so
man.
So we have, here's what, this is for you. This is a little gift for you.
Okay.
So we do, so starting tomorrow, we'll starting to take orders now for our Valentine's Day gift ice hearts.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the mic, June.
We're doing some Valentine's Day hearts. You can order one. We're doing them custom. You can't see it here, but there's
I'm taking a picture.
There's a rose frozen into a heart. It's engraved with Happy Valentine's Day. We'll be doing them. You can pick them up at the shop, or we can deliver them.
If I just keep that like this, how long will it last?
Well, in room temperature, it'd probably take at least 24 hours or more to last. But people put it, my grandmother, I gave her one that lasted 6 years, so she kept it in her freezer.
I guess you could keep it in the freezer, couldn't you? It's beautiful. It's Happy Valentine's Day with the rose in the middle, right?
Yep.
And then we do custom as well, but the orders that we're going to start taking is a limited issue this year. We did it years ago, and we used to sell thousands of them. Now we're going to be doing 75 for this year just to try it out again, bring it back. But it comes with a cooler that doubles as a drainage tray, and you can set it outside. But it's something unique, and people are looking for something unique for Valentine's Day. So that's what we're...
Yes. And, hey, it falls in the middle of, the world of winter as well. And how does one order this again?
So there'll be QR codes downtown tomorrow that you can scan. Also, if you go to www.iceguru.com, there's information on our website.
Yes. So, what keeps you doing this, Randy?
It's the passion. It's love. I mean, I've done this. I during COVID, you know, we survived. We got by, and it was savings and everything else. So it wasn't so much the financial loss. It was the feeling of gratitude and people saying, "Oh, I love your work, and this is great." So that's the intrinsic value of making people happy is really what's driven this company from the beginning.
Yes, obviously, world of winter and I don't want to put you on the spot, but lots of other opportunities. I'm on a website, worldofwintergr.com, where other art displays, June, will be out and about.
Yes, there are going to be art displays all over and at different events throughout. We'll have some of our photo booths out there. We'll be part of the silent disco happening. So you'll see Ice Guru events popping up throughout World of Winter.
Randy, remind me of the Silent Disco.
Oh, Silent Disco is great. So it's the DGRI does a great job with this whole festival, and they supply the headphones through us. We provide them, and they're free. So you come down, dance all night. There's different types of music on different channels. So different people are dancing different ways, but you can turn them down and talk to people. So it's a great entertainment. And they have dancers. They have music. They have all kinds of fun lighting down there, and you'll be able to see some of the exhibits from World of Winter that night. So I definitely recommend coming down early and get your headphones. In the past, sometimes they're out and you kind of have to wait for about 15 or 20 minutes, but they get 1,500 headphones, and we go through those in about an hour and a half.
Is this dubbed the largest free winter festival in the U.S.?
It is, depending on the metrics, obviously. This is because it lasts for 2 months. Most festivals are a weekend, a couple of days. There's a couple in Canada that are about a week, but this lasts for a couple of months, and it has so many other very exciting things like the lighted features that they have, the giant inflatables. Most winter festivals have just the ice sculptures and a few other events, but this is just nonstop entertainment, free entertainment for the whole city and the whole state.
So details again for tomorrow. What time do I need to be downtown?
Well, the action's going to start around noon. We're going to have everything set up. We're going to start slow, stacking, getting everything going. About 2:30, you'll really start to see it come together, and by 4 o'clock, we'll have it all done. It's going to be up all night, so I would say after 4, if you're there for pictures, or if you're a photographer, come down for that, for sure. But during the day, if you want to see people carving, we'll have artists that can answer questions and things like that, and again, we'll have the Valentine's Day orders as well.
Yeah. Get your Valentine's. That is just beautiful. Happy Valentine's Day. Not to rush to another holiday, but it's well, what we do, right?
Yeah.
The stores are ready.
Right.
And then will you have the piano this year?
Yes. Oh, okay. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's a huge hit.
I like that.
We have a workable playing piano. So people come up, they can play music, and they kick it off. The Downtown Grand Rapids Inc. brings in a professional piano player, and they do concerts with it at first, and then it opens up to the public so they can play. But it's if you're a piano player, it's a great photo op or video op for sure, and it's just fun. Every year it's all lit up with neon and stuff.
I was going to say, they're having it underneath one of the really beautiful art installations. So it'll definitely be something you won't want to miss.
Is a best resource World of Winter GR?
Absolutely. They have at World of Winter GR has everything you need to know, information, times, there's phone numbers on there, but definitely make a plan to get down for this. This is just an amazing thing.
What are your final comments, June?
I wanted to add that after the live carving, there will be a bunch of ice games down there from 6 to 10 p.m. right in the same spot. So you'll be able to see that live carving and then pop over and play some cornhole, air hockey, different things like that. So,
yeah, very nice. All right, Randy Finch, I'm glad you're in the house with talk about World of Winter and, of course, Valentine's Day and beyond. Your talents are important in our community. What's your final message?
I love being on with Shelley Irwin.
I wasn't going there, but
I am.
We do make it fun. We're going to take your picture. How's that?
Yes, let's do this.
All right, man. Thank you very much. And yes, go into our WGVU.org and search for Living West Michigan and pull up Randy Finch's interview on Ice Guru. Live in infamy, is that the word?
A legend.
Thanks,
in my own mind.
Yes, you are. World of Winter kicking off today. Thanks to you on behalf of Ice Brigade, Ice Guru Events, you, June Elmer, and Randy Finch. Take care. Happy Valentine's Day. There you go. Your inspiration for the day. Any new beginning is forged from the shards of the past, not from the abandonment of the past. It's heavy, says Craig Lounsbro, but that's sometimes where you need to go. Hope you enjoyed the show and the week. Looking forward to Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm Shelley Irwin.